We're talking about God's will, and I wonder how many of you sincerely want God's will for your life. I know you do, because most of us, as Christians, we don't struggle with wanting God's will. We struggle with waiting for God's will, or we struggle with discerning God's will. We want it, but we just don't really know what it is. And what tends to happen, there's kind of a common thing that happens with Christians, is we have a decision to make. We know, should I go there? Should I do this? Should I do that? And so we pray about it. And then we overthink every option, and we analyze every angle, and we do a pros and a cons, and then we pray, and then we still feel stuck. Because so many of us, deep down, we're afraid we're going to miss God's will. We're going to miss the perfect moment. We might make the wrong decision, take the wrong job, marry the wrong person, and have the wrong life. And that's a lot of pressure for someone who can't figure out what they're going to do for dinner, right? And I get it. And the thing is, for so many of us, we don't realize that while we're chasing the perfect answer for tomorrow, we're often missing what God wants us to do today. And that's why we talked about this principle last week, that one of the biggest mistakes so many of us make when trying to discern the will of God is we overcomplicate God's will and underestimate God's goodness. We overcomplicate His will, and we think it's like a dot on a map, that if we hit it, we hit it. We miss it, we miss it. But we don't know how good God is, that He guides us, He directs us, He counsels us, His loving eye is upon us. And so I want to work through God's Word to continue to kind of uncomplicate God's Word. And I want to show you something about His Word. And I'm not making an overstatement when I say this. Like, literally, this truth has the potential to change your life. It genuinely does. And here's what we tend to do. So, many of us as Christians, we tend to think about God's will in terms of what we do. What we do. God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do now? God, what do you want me to do next? God, what do you want me to do then? God, what do you want me to do later? God, what do you want me to do? The challenge is this, that I would suggest at a deeper level, God isn't thinking do, 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 do. God's will is more about who than it is a do. That when you look at God's Word, He's more concerned with who you're becoming. Are you becoming more like Jesus than exactly what job you take or where you live? That God is more concerned with who you are, your character, the way you treat people, than He is about your profession. Because before God guides your steps, He actually wants to shape your character. He wants you to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And so when you look at God's will, it's not just about what do I major in and what job do I take and where do I live, but it's about your heart and your character and your relationship with Him. And that's why knowing God's will starts with knowing God's heart. And that's why the title today is Stop Overcomplicating God's Will. We're talking about God's will. And when we talk about God's will, many of us, what we're tempted to do is we tend to lock in on what we consider the big things in life. God, what's your will for the big things in life? Like, God, what's your will for where I work and what job I take when I work there? And God, where do I live? Do I rent or do I buy? Everybody knows you can't buy a house now. No, hopefully you can. God, what do you want for me? God, should I marry this person? Or do you have someone better coming along? When should I get married? Should we have kids now? Should we have kids later? Should we have two kids? Should we have three kids? God, help us if we have four kids. God, what do you want for us? Should we try to put them in a private school? But what if God calls us to homeschool? We tend to obsess over the major life moves with very little thought to the daily choices that shape who we're actually becoming, right? We focus on, like, which college am I supposed to go to, with little thought about how much time you're wasting mindlessly scrolling on social media. We freak out about who we're supposed to date or marry, with little thought about how we treat the person that God put right in front of us at the grocery store. And when you look at God's Word, and we're going to look at a lot of God's Word today, it actually says very little about your future. The Bible doesn't talk about, like, who you should marry in the future, or where you should live in the future, or about, like, what job you should take in the future. In fact, when Jesus talks about jobs, one of the things he says most is that people actually left their job in order to follow him. When you look at God's Word, he doesn't talk a lot about the future, but he talks a lot about how you should treat people today and how you should use your money today and how you should think today and what you should do with your time today. When Jesus talks about the future, let me show you what he says. Jesus says, so don't worry about tomorrow. Matthew 6:34. Don't worry about the future or tomorrow. It will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Don't worry about the future. When James talks about the future, this is what he says in James 4:13. Now listen, you who say, I'm going to plan my future. You who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or to that city. Spend a year there. Carry on business and make money. He says, why, you don't even know what'll happen tomorrow. Tomorrow's not even a guarantee. He asked, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead of saying, I'm going to do this and this is what my future's going to look like, instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that. When we're looking at God's will, he's not trying to get you to figure out the future. God wants you to seek him and know him today. He wants you to serve him today. He wants you to be led by the Spirit today. He wants you to have the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control today. And so if you want to know God's will, get to know God's heart. And the longer you get to know his heart, the more you get to know him through his word. The more his word renews your mind. The more you can hear the voice of the Spirit. The more he's prompting you. The more you learn to walk by faith instead of by sight. The more you die to your flesh and let his Spirit live through you. The more his Spirit produces fruit that makes a difference in the world. Instead of you seeking your own will, but letting him guide your steps today toward his will and the future, the more you walk with him, the more you get to know him, the more you enjoy him. Delight in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. The more you enjoy him, the more you realize the best way to find God's will for your future is to live faithfully for Jesus today. It's a game changer. It's a game changer. God's will is not as much about a do as it is a who. And the better you get to know him, and the more faithfully you live for him today, the more confidence you can have that he's going to lead you to where he wants you to be tomorrow. Now, if you weren't here last week, I want to review some important principles. We talked about the four different wills of God, four different qualities of God's will. And we started with God's sovereign will. If you remember, that's the master plan. That's the overarching narrative of God's going to do, whether you like it or not. It's his sovereign will. We talked about God's moral will. This is his revealed will in his word for how you live. We talked about God's permissive will. There are some things, because he loves us, he gave us free will. Because he gave us free will, some people do things that are not pleasing. We live in a broken world. There are things that God allows. We may not like them, but God allows them. And then he uses them toward his sovereign will. And we talked about God's personal will. This is what he wants for each of you. And God had plans for you before you were even born that he reveals in his personal will for you. So, let's talk about the moral will. This is God's revealed will for your life. What is God's moral will for you? Let me tell you what it's not. It's not that you be a graphic designer. It's not that you be a YouTuber, but that would be cool. It's not that you would be a stay-at-home parent. God's moral will for you is revealed in his word. God's will for you is to be what? It's to be holy. We looked at this last week. Let's build upon it. What's the Greek word for holy? It's the word hagios. And hagios means to be set apart, different, sacred, dedicated to God. God's moral will for you is to be different from the sinful, selfish world. It's to be set apart. It's to be sacred. It's to be dedicated to God. And this is what Paul said in Romans 12:2. He said, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world." Don't be like the fallen world. Don't speak like them. Don't treat people like them. Don't let your world be shaped by the media like them. Don't waste your life doing stupid things like them. Don't be entertained by the baseless, sinful things like them. Don't use your money like them. Don't have marriages that end in divorce 50% of the time like them. Don't raise your children like them. Have values that honor Christ. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The more you get to know God's heart, the more you live His will by renewing your mind. Then watch this. When you're set apart, then when you're not transformed to this world, then when you are different, then do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed, be set apart, be holy, live a sacred life. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Before you worry about His will for the future, worry about His moral will for how you live today. Be set apart. Be holy. I always thought like God was going to have this calling for my life. And He does, but you're like, isn't He calling me to be a missionary? Isn't He calling me to be an influencer? Isn't He calling me to be a pastor? Isn't He calling me to be a programmer? Isn't He calling me to marry someone rich that has a second home in Hawaii? Maybe. But remember, God's will, God's calling for you is more about a who than a do. Look at His word, 2 Timothy 1:9. For God saved us and called us, what? To live a holy life. It's more about, it's a who. It's what we do today. He's called us to live a holy life. God did this, not because we deserved it. This is amazing. This is gospel. But because that was His plan. That was His plan for you. Before the beginning of time, to show us His grace through Christ Jesus. And that's why when it comes to seeking God's will, you might want to change the question that you're asking. Here's what most people are asking. Most people are saying, what does God want me to? What do you want me to do? What do you do now? What do I do later? What do I do next? God, what do you want me to do? Instead of asking God, what do you want me to do? You might want to ask, who does God want me to become? Literally, this can change how you treat people and what you do when you wake up in the morning and who you become. Which actually shapes what you do. God, who do you want me to become? Not where do I go to school? Who do you want me to be when I'm at that school? God, who do you want me to marry? No, how do you want me to treat the person I'm dating right now? And let me try to unpack it. Preaching is a calling, but it's absolutely and completely a secondary calling because my primary calling is to be holy. It is a who before a do. God's will is for me to have integrity, and God's will is for me not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Then I'll be able to test and approve what His will is. God's will is for me to die to my selfish desires and live for His glory and how I love and treat people. God's will for me is to lay down my life, to love my wife as Christ loved the church. God's will for me is to live a life in front of my children that inspire them to live a life for the glory of God. Preaching is a secondary calling. Living a holy life is my primary calling. And so if you kind of unpack that, if I'm a good preacher, but I neglect my family, I'm not in God's will. And play it out however you want to. If you're a successful whatever you are, and you're unkind to people, you are not in God's will. And if I had time, I'd kind of like to go crazy on Christians who think they're right and have no fruit. You're so busy making a point. You're not making any kind of difference at all. We'll save that for another time, but you could tell I could preach it if we had time. I'm convinced for my life God would rather me do anything else with my career, do anything else with integrity, than to be a pastor without integrity. Because his primary will is for me to be holy. So, okay, you're talking about God's will. Like, is there one perfect career path for you that's God's will? Is there one perfect place to live that's God's will? Here's the big one. Is there one perfect person for you to marry that's God's will? Hate to break your romance, but I gotta tell you, no. The answer's not. And I can prove it to you. How many of you know someone that obviously completely married the wrong person? Right? They married the wrong person. Your cousin Butch married Betty, and when Butch married Betty, all hell broke loose. And they're not married anymore. So guess what they did? They messed up the whole system. Think about it. One wrong marriage messed up the whole thing. So God's not choosing one perfect person for you to marry as much as he wants to be perfecting you to become like Jesus, to treat the person that you marry like Jesus calls you to treat them. You see where we're going with this? And so that's why God's word says this. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, he said, "Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God." Whatever you do, right? Like, wherever you live, live there for the glory of God. Treat your neighbors with the love of Jesus. Whoever you're dating, date with integrity and purity and the fruits of the Spirit, in an honorable way for the glory of God. If you're married, if you're single, be married for the glory of God. Be single for the glory of God. Wherever you work, work there for the glory of God. If you work at the front desk at the bank, do it for the glory of God. If you mow yards on the weekend, make the best straight God-honoring grass lines possible and treat people well. Exceed their expectations for the glory of God. If you own a business, treat people well and add value and be generous and believe in others for the glory of God. If you're changing diapers, wipe that butt clean for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Because we all want God's will for the future, but tomorrow's not guaranteed. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. In fact, when you think about it, the only time you can serve Jesus for certain is today. Okay? So that makes sense. It's more about a who than a do. And God's will for me to do is to be holy. I want you to ask God, where is it that you want to conform me to be like Jesus? Pride, anger, lust, greed, insecurity, fear, doubt, whatever it is. Like, let's just let's just open up and say, where do you want me to conform to be like Jesus? Let God speak to you. I'm doing that right now. And oh my gosh, if you're telling me all the things wrong with me, your list is way too short. Because God has shown me a lot of things that he wants to do in me. Open up, confess your sins to one another, pray for each other that you may be healed. Just let God do a work in you, not like what's your will for the future, like who do you want me to be today? Now you say, but hey, I got really big plans for the future. I think you should. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I want to make a bigger difference. I want to be successful for the glory of God. I want to be able to give more in the future. I want to do big things in the future. So let me tell you how to do big things in the future. Do small things for the glory of God today. I promise you, do small things today, because if you're faithful in the small things, he'll trust you with more. So if you want to do big things in the future, do small things today. You ready for a little secret? You ready for this? Sometimes the small things are the big things. Sometimes raising your babies, those are big things. And loving a small group of people are the big things. And enduring what can be a difficult husband is a big thing. And so if you want to do big things in the future, do small things today. And you may realize the small things are actually the big things. So what are you going to do? What's God calling you to do? He's calling you to be holy, to be set apart, to not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you could test and approve what his will is, good and perfect and pleasing will, and you could be confident that your job doesn't matter as much as your heart, and where you live doesn't matter as much as your becoming. And while the world may applaud what you do, our Father celebrates who you are. And so we start with the who before the do. And the best way to find God's will for the future is to live faithfully for Jesus today.